We are right now in the middle, in the beginning of, or towards the, yeah, towards the top of that Vav Min Aleph. We got to about 10 lines on the top of the page. Tana Rabbanan. We're about to start a new discussion, a new piece, a new quote of a bunch of psukim, really one puzzle, a bunch of drushas on that same puzzle. 10 lines from the top of Daf Vav Min Aleph. 10 lines from the top. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Motzas Vasecha. I got to read the whole pasuk inside. It's the pasuk that follows what we quoted earlier. So it's Perek Chav Gimel, pasuk Chav Dalet. That's the two pasuk math that we did earlier. It says Motzas Vasecha Tishmor Vasisa, which means what comes out of your mouth you should watch and do. Kasher Nadar Tel Hashem Elokecha, like you promised, like you vowed to Hashem your God. Nedava Shadibar Kaficha, the Nedava, the offering that you spoke about with your mouth. Every part of that puzzle we're going to analyze and discuss what it teaches us. So now again, we're starting Tana Rabbanan, 8-10 lines on top of the page. Motzas Vasecha, those words, Zu Mitzvah Zaseh, that tells you there's a Mitzvah Zaseh to do what you said you were going to do. When you make a promise and you make a pledge and you keep your word, you do get a Mitzvah Zaseh by doing that. Tishmor, when it says guard, protect, that refers to, it makes it now also Mitzvah Lo Zaseh. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, then you're over the Isser, we called it earlier, called Baal Ta'acher, of delaying a promise that you made. Vasisa, that you will have to do. Asar lebeisin shi'asucha, that's a warning to Beisin that they can force you to do it. Beisin can make you do it in the end. Again, it's a mitzvah to bring it. If you don't bring it, you're over this rabal to acher. And vasisa, the pasuk tells you, that Beisin can encourage you, has to encourage you, if you don't want to do it in the end, to make you do it. Kasher nadarta, when it says in the pasuk that as you vowed, Zeneder, that refers to, including in the list of things, refers to a nether. La Hashem Elokecha, what else is included in this list? Things that are to Hashem and Hashem alone, like a chatas and a ashamos, olos and shlomim. Those are things that are dafka to Hashem and not, let's say, to the kohanim per se. So those things are also La Hashem Elokecha. Rashi went out of here, it's an extra part of the pasuk. And we tell you over here, things that you're obligated to give to Hashem, things you must give to Hashem, like a chadas and usham, things that you're obligated to do, shlomim and anola, again, certain types of shlomims. So those things also are included in the list of, you cannot delay them. If you delay them, you're over the Isser Baal Ta'acher. When you bring them on time, you do the mitzvah of bringing your needed, necessary korbanos on time. The word nidava in the pasuk, kimashmo, that's what you think it means. It means an adava, as opposed to a neder, it means an adava. Asher Dibarta, when it says Asher Dibarta, refers to Elu Kod Shei Benek Abayis. That refers to the other offerings that you give, not animals per se, of korbanos, but it means, it could be actually an animal to the Beis HaMikdash, but not to be offered, but to be used by the Kohen or by the Beis HaMikdash. It could be money promises that you made to the Beis HaMikdash, things like that. Beficha, Zut Staka. And Beficha refers to charity. Charity over here does not mean necessarily the Beis HaMikdash charity. It means charity to a poor person. Again, there's a mitzvah of doing, giving it, and there's an isser in not giving it. That is our pasuk over here that we have, again, telling us there's a positive commandment, there's a negative commandment, based and encourages you to do it. It applies to korbanos, it applies to nedarim, it applies to nedavos, it applies to koshi bedek abayis, which is like hektashos, and it applies to tzedakah as well. Fine. Says the Gemara, let's analyze different parts of this pasuk. Amar Mar. It says that if you, again, that whatever comes out of your mouth, you should keep. That means there's a positive commandment to do it. Lamali, why don't you need the pasuk, that pasuk to tell me it's a positive commandment to see through my offering, to see it, you know, to see it through, make sure I do it. Me uvata shama vesu shama nafka. We quoted this line earlier. The pasuk says that you come and you bring it. There's an obligation for you to bring. We had this line again, I think, in the prior Amud. There's an obligation, the very top of the prior Amud. There's an obligation to bring what you're supposed to be bringing in the end. It's a mitzvah zaseh. We already knew that for a different pasuk. So why tell me it twice, this din? We're going to quote a number of things that appear in both the brayos we had yesterday and the Hayim Abayis, the brayos we have today in Bava Min Aleph, that seem to be the same exact halacha repeated twice. The mitzvah of bringing the korbanos, that's a mitzvah zaseh, we saw already yesterday. And we also saw the next one, which is the word tishmor. When we said zumitzvah lo taseh, tishmor was a prohibition of Baal Ta'acher. Lamali, why don't you that pasuk of Baal Ta'acher? We had yesterday the top. The pasuk lo tacher l'shamo, do not delay in paying it and offering it. We learned already lo tasei there. That's how Nachu learned it out. So we have it twice again. Why? Vasisa, that we're supposed to, that you're supposed to do it, and bezin, azar le bezin sheasucha, the bezin is supposed to encourage, quote unquote, it's supposed to make you do it if you don't want to do it. Lamali, I don't need that pasuk to tell me that halacha. I already knew it from Miakriv Oso Nafka. I learned it after the words Yakriv Oso. Rashi here quotes out, the pasuk says, Yakriv Oso El Pesach Ol Moed. You must bring it to the Pesach Ol Moed, to the opening of the tent of meeting. And that pasuk over here is an extra word, because we had earlier in that same pasuk, not the one we're quoting right now, but the one we're quoting right now, not the one we quoted beforehand, the one we're quoting right now of Yakriv Oso, we had the word Yakrivenu. Why does it say Yakrivenu and then Yakriv Oso again? Rashi quotes this pasuk, so that's where it's inside. Yakriveno, Yakriv Oso, that if you don't bring it, Mlamet Shekofen Oso, Shekofen Oso. We learn here that they force you to bring it. If you don't want to bring it, they force you to bring it. From the word Yakriv Oso, not from the word of Vasisa. So why would we need a second mentioning of Bezin forcing you to do it? The Gemara goes on a small tangent about what it means to force you. Says the Gemara, Yachol Bal Korcho, does that mean you can even, that you're supposed to bring it against your will? What do you mean? A korban has to be offered willingly. Talmud Lomar Liritzo No. You know, you have to be offered Liritzo No. If you're Rutzon, can't be against your will. So what do you mean that they can kofin or so? They can force you, but it can't be against your will. So, okay, so how can this be? Something we've seen in Gittin before as well. Kofin or so, Achi Yom Rotzoni. They can force you until you say, okay, I want to do it. Now, again, we accept that. We accept that. It's not called forcing if you say, I want to do it in the end, because we know really in your heart of hearts, you want to do the right thing. The Yetzer is very strong and tries to get in the way sometimes. So when they beat you up over it, they're beating Yetzer up. Yetzer is now out of the picture, and your real self is saying, okay, I want to. That's what you wanted to all along. That's the idea of the Kofin Oso. They force you into something until you say Rotsani, and even though Rotsani sounds like it's under duress, it's not under duress at all. It's actually always under the surface all the time. You just couldn't express it because Yetzer was so strong, it wouldn't let you say the words. But now you beat Yetzer up a little bit, and now you can say the words. Okay. Now, the Gemara over here pointed out, we have already a number of different seemingly repetitive psukim. A possibly repetitive that seems to say, we saw two different psukim that says that it's a mitzvah to do what you're supposed to do as far as the korbanos goes. There's a low tase if you don't do it properly. They force you if you're not willing to do it on your own. Why do we have the repetition of these psukim, of these rules? So the Gemara says, chad amar v'lo afrish, v'chad afrish v'lo akrif. There's two separate cases we're saying. The halacha would be the same halacha, whether or not you said you were going to do it, and you have yet to designate the animal to set aside to actually bring. Even there, there's a mitzvah of doing it, and there's an isra of not doing it. And chad afrish lo akriv. And one is a case when you set it aside already, and you have yet to offer it. Once again, over there, there's a mitzvah to offer it, and there's lo tasei not to offer it. Vitzricha, and we'll see why you needed both those separate limudim. Again, one set of psukim is to tell you that even if you have not yet separated, but you only said you're going to do it, that's already all these rules apply. And one is if you separate it already, but you have not yet to offer it, then these rules also apply. Why do I need both of these statements? Diash minan amar v'lo afrish, if you only taught, if we only knew that this halacha was, there was an iser and a mitzvah, and you get forced to do it if you said you would do it, but you have yet to set it aside. Well, maybe I needed that case, mishum d'lo kaimet l'dibure. One sec, yeah? Yeah, because I have yet to fulfill what I said I would do. I've yet to set it aside. About average low akar, but if I set it aside, but I get to bring it to the actual base of mikdash yet, well, maybe it wouldn't be these isurim. Maybe I've already done my mitzvah. Why? Because anyway, I could say kol hecha the isay be gaz derechman isay. Wherever it is right now, it's considered in the base gaz in the treasury of rechman of Hashem. It's already designated it. It's already set aside. It's already going to be considered whenever the time comes to be offered. It's not nothing's lacking. They just didn't pick it up yet. So I've done my job, I've set it aside already, and I'm done. You could think that way at least. We have to have a second pasuk that tells you, no, if you haven't yet offered it still, even though you set it aside already, if you haven't yet offered it, it's still a prohibition, and we still are obligated to force you, and it's still the mitzvah is not yet completed until you actually do the mitzvah in its entirety. So that's what we have, these two cases. Yeah, Aaron, what do you got?
Is that like a chiddush? Like, I feel like if you take a neder upon yourself, it's into effect no matter how you actually, like, what steps you do to carry it out. Like, once you say it, it's good, no?
Well, once you say it and I designate it, maybe you could argue that I did my job already. You know, when's pickup time? When are you picking up my korban? When are you picking up my charitable donation that I said I would set aside? Then maybe you could argue that I've already done my job There's no more mitzvot. I did it already. There's no lotasics. I've already, again, it's already set aside. And there's no forcing because it's already here. Just come at your convenience and pick it up. You could have argued that was the case. And therefore, if I only knew the halacha was, if I hadn't yet set it aside, you could have said, oh, if I don't set it aside, there's an isser, there's a mitzvah not yet fulfilled, but when you do it, it's a mitzvah, there's a, that we forced him. But if I already set it aside, I'm done my job already. That's one option. Did I answer your question, Aaron, or not really?
Wait, so we were saying that if you set it aside, that would be good?
You could have thought. That's why you have two psukim. You could have thought that would be sufficient. The answer is it's not sufficient. But I need to tell you it's not sufficient with the second pasuk. I only had one pasuk, and that pasuk was referring to if I said that I would do it, and I haven't yet set it aside, it doesn't necessarily mean that if I set it aside and haven't yet given it, you would still say the same halakha would apply. You could have argued, once I set it aside, I've done my job. You haven't picked up, I've done my job. Like, so the second pasuk tells me, no, there's still isurim that you're doing by not giving it yet. That's the point, the second pasuk.
Oh, so the main thing is you actually need to do it.
Correct.
That's like the
correct.
Main. Yeah.
That's why okay. I need both psukim. It's not enough to only have the first pasuk of if I said but didn't set it aside. How about the other one? Says the Gemara. Let's say the other way. He says, "V'iash v'inan afrish v'lo akrim." The case would have only been where I set it aside but I've yet to offer it, and that's where there's a lo tase if I don't do it. There's an ase to do it, and they would force me if I don't do it on my own. That's because deka mashile gave, because you're delaying it by you. You offered something. You set it aside, and you're not giving it yet. So there's a prohibition. There's a mitzvah to do it. We force you to do it. Let's say you said it, but you haven't designated it yet. You could have said, well, I was kidding. Don't take me so seriously. I'm all talk. Just saying the words might not be enough. If I designated it already, I pulled it aside already, then it's already, you know, it's already in action. It's already begun, and I can't delay anymore. If I just say the words, and I haven't done anything besides that, maybe I'm a big talker. Maybe that big talking shouldn't actually be an obligation until I set it aside. And therefore, tzricha, no, I need to tell you that even talking is already enough to put this action in motion and to obligate you as a isser if you don't do it, as a mitzvah if you do it, and as an obligation, we force based if you will not do it willingly. So we have two psukim over here. And the reason we have two psukim is because we have to tell you two different scenarios of whichever one you are. In both cases, all these laws apply. Whether you just were a big talker and didn't do anything yet, well, you still have to do everything. And if you were a talker and you were a part doer, you set it aside already, but you're waiting for them to pick it up from you, that's still not enough. You still have to bring it at the right time. That's why we have two separate psukim to tell you both of those scenarios. The problem with saying that is one big issue we have. The word nedava, you remember what the word nedava was from last time? How is a neder different than nedava? A neder is something that you say without designating. Nedava is something that you'd say and you designated already. We had the word nedava come up in both cases. How could you have a nedava in the case when you set it aside, when you said but didn't set it aside yet? That's not a nedava. And the Gemara says the word nedava by both of those sets of psukim. So to tell me that one set of psukim was talking about a case when I said but didn't designate, and the other was when I designated but I didn't offer, but the nedava was mentioned by both of them, and a nedava is dafka when you already designated it. So it can't be I just said it and didn't designate it yet. Question mark. That's the Gemara's question right now it's going to ask. Says the Gemara, who says, where do we find that someone could say the case was that you said you would do it, but you didn't offer, you didn't set aside yet? But we know that both those cases, in whatever case that case was, both those cases had the word nedava as one of the things that these psukim were talking about. Vitznad, we know from a Mishnah, in Megillah, as the real can tell you, as other places as well. It says in the Mishnah, Ezu neder, what's considered a neder? When you say, I will put upon myself to offer a korban ola. That's like an example of a neder. And what is an example of a nedava? When you say, when you point, meaning you designated, that thing is an ola. That thing is an ola. And therefore, I've designated already. That's what makes it a nedava. Therefore, you can't tell me that one of the cases is when I don't designate it yet, because then it can't call that thing in that case a nedava. So the definition of nedava is when you designated it already. So we have a kasha right now. The Gemara quotes on the further part of the Mishnah, which is important to see in a minute. Uma be neder nedava. What's the difference whether it's a neder or a nedava? I mentioned this last time, if you remember. Well, how is a neder and a nedava different? Besides the way you said, what's the halachic difference? Neder, if it's a neder, you say, I'm going to bring a korban ola. Then afterward, you set aside one to bring. And then mace onignav, and that animal was died later on, or it was stolen later on. Well, chaya bachriuso. You're obligated to back it up with a new one. Because you didn't originally set this one to be the Ned Ola. You said, I'll bring an Ola. You chose this one arbitrarily. If it died, bring a new one now to fill your obligation. What's a Nadava? By Nadava, though, if you say Hare Zu Nadava, Hare Zu Ola, well, then if that zoo, if that animal may so, Nigdava, if it died or it was stolen, the Enoch Abacharusa, you're not obligated to fill the spot. You don't have to, because at that point in time, what you offered was designated right away, and it didn't make it to the korban. Okay, so then you're done. That's all you promised was that one. The bottom line, though, the Gemara here is asking, is that right now we can't figure out how could you have a nedava in a scenario when we said that you said you would do it, but having it designated. By definition, a nedava is all about the original official designation of the animal. So it can't be you call that a nedava, but you say you didn't designate it. A nedava, by definition, is a designation. So I'm a Rava. Rava says, no, I'll tell you a case of a nedava that, well, we'll see right now. It's not confusing, but it's a specific loophole. Mishkachas la kigon de amar hare alai ola amanasha eini chayev ba'achar yusa. Which means the following case. If you say, this will be an ola to me, but I do not want, I mean, you're really saying, hare zu ola, sorry, hare alai ola, which is like a neder, but it has a nedava rule to it. Because you make condition, and you say a condition that I'm not obligated, if it gets lost, to replenish it. Means it has the halachas attached to a nedava and not a neder. A neder rule normally means that when you set something aside later on, if it dies or it gets stolen, you have to repay or give a different one instead. And then the rule of a nedava is that since you singled out a specific animal, then if that animal dies or is stolen before you offer it, it's not going to come back to you. You don't have to give another one. Here, it was like a hodgepodge. I didn't say this is my animal. I said I'm going to give an animal. But I said, the condition is that only if the rules of the nedava apply to that case. Meaning, whatever animal I pick in the end, if it dies or gets stolen, I'm not going to offer another one. And we say, okay, that's a valid statement. So therefore, it has nedava-like rules. Though I did not originally set it aside. So now we've shown an example of a case when you said you would offer something, but you didn't yet decide what's going to be. And we still call that a nedava because it has nedava rules to it, in that if it dies or it gets stolen, you will have to offer a new one. Uriel, what do you got?
Why would anybody ever make a nedava?
Maybe they're so full of of gratitude towards something. They say, this animal here, I'm so happy you gave me this great litter of animals. I'm going to take that animal and offer it as a corporate ola to you. My most precious animal, I want you to have that animal. A zoo ola, let's say. It's a different type of, plus it's also, like, it doesn't, it's not even better in some ways. It's better because then it does, in theory, if that animal dies or gets stolen, I don't have, I'm not hanging out and I still have to do more. I've offered one. Something goes wrong with it. I can't afford a second one, so I'm going to offer that one. This is the ola. If it dies or if it gets stolen, I'm not on the hook anymore. All right? It's kind of like an insurance policy in theory. Okay. Yeah, Pops, what do you got?
It's even more than that. The process is, this is it, and easily done, it will get sacrificed. If it gets lost, it gets lost. If that's not the case, then you're still involved in the entire process, and you may have other things to go on to. So by saying, this is the one, let's get it done. If it doesn't get done, it gets lost, it's fine, I'm moving on. Otherwise, it's, okay, I make a promise. Is it this one? I don't know. Is it that one? I don't know. It makes a break in it. You get your mitzvah done, and you go on to, quote-unquote, other work.
For people who are more, I was a very organized person. When you're very organized, it might be very helpful to kind of like to know what you're dealing with. If you're, this is what I'm going to be dealing with, and move on afterwards, my father is suggesting. Again, another element would be if something goes wrong afterwards, again, this is what you designated, and now it's finished, and you're done for it afterwards. So, kind of also makes you be more aware of what you're actually getting involved in instead of having this open-ended possible thing.
And at the same time, it fulfills the mitzvah. In other words,
fully fulfills the mitzvah, for sure, right? For sure.
Yeah, right.
Well, not yet. Yeah, not until you offer it. Not until you actually offer it.
No. Understood. But you're closer to the offering. And remember, we talked earlier in terms of when you make a commitment, you want to get it done. And we've now talked about what happens if you don't, et cetera, et cetera.
A step closer, and that brings you closer to avoiding the issur and doing the mitzvah, everything involved.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, we're real.
But you're still fine even if you lose it rather if it gets stolen. Like, it can be your own fault.
Yeah, the point is that you put your finger pointing at that animal, and that is the animal that you are attaching this korban with. If something goes wrong with the animal, it's by accident, it dies, you lose it, it's stolen. I think every case you would be, in the clear. Avi, you have a question?
Is an adava only related to a korban? Can it be, like, a neder doesn't have to be just about a korban, right?
True. And the word nadava in its most general form actually just means that, like, a free will offering. We call it tefila. Let's say you want a daven, an extra davening. We call it tefilas nadava. It just means like a gift offering. I'm not sure in the context of the halachic concept over here of nadava, it means neder and dava, both animals. Because we have other things. We say hektesh. That would be like, we call it hektesh, meaning we have like a subcategories of all these things called hektesh, you know. I'm making this thing hektish. That could be called a nadava. It could be a generous offering I'm doing right now. You know, I promise I'm going to bring, this thing now as this money to the basic mikdash. You're making us a vow, but it's not called a neder. A neder is not called in this context. Again, this is a more specific use of neder and nadava. But you're right. Neder and nadava could be other things in other contexts as well. But we called an argamar hektish or things of that, sukka, you know, things of that nature. We kind of broke down these categories. Yeah, Dad.
If the reason that your sacrifice disappears, it wasn't stolen, but it's your negligence. You left it in a field and it just walked off. Are you still...
I imagine the same halacha applies because you only tied in that animal. That animal you tied in as your net in the dove. Again, you lost the chance. You might be held accountable for losing this thing that was, and you missed the mitzvah opportunity, but I don't think you'd have to fill the gap. And I don't think so. Okay. Back in the Gemara. Okay, so now we answer our question. You could have a case of an adava where the animal was not yet designated because you made a neder with an adava rule. The neder was, I'll bring an ola with an adava rule that I don't want responsibility if it gets lost or stolen, or if it dies, I should say. Therefore, it has an adava like halacha, so we call it an adava, and therefore it's not crazy to attach it to a case. When you said you do something, but you get to set it aside. Mm-hmm. Let's analyze now the next part about stucca. I'm a rubber. The last one we had was beficha zut staka. We said beficha is a case when it means that you have to also give your charitable donations. You have to make sure you give them over as well. Amar Rava says about the case of staka, v'staka mechayev alel alter, as opposed to the other bal ta'achers, which are korbanos or neders, nedavas, chatas, ashim, ola, shalom, all those examples we brought earlier. This is different. This doesn't apply after through your golem. It applies right away. Mechayv ala la'alter. It applies right away. My time. Why does it apply right away? Da'akayme aniyim. Because there are aniyim that are around. Meaning, when you say I'm giving this thing as stucca for that thing, for a poor person, and a poor person's here, then you have to give it. That it's, the mitzvah is right now. Even though it's in the same pasuk as the other examples of things, it's only in the same pasuk that there's an isser to not do it and a mitzvah to do it. But regarding what point in time that isser or mitzvah would have to be filled by, that's a different set of rules, says Rava. Versus pshita, of course, it's different. Why would you think it's tied in to festivals? Everything else is more based on mikdash related. This is a poor person related. There's no based on mikdash discussion over here. Why would we think it applies based on mikdash necessarily? Ma'od de temoju said, kevan diba inyan adin korbanos ksiva ad avriyala gimel regalim ki korbanos. Since it was in Yana, the Korbanos, it was brought down, see, it was written in the same psukim about Korbanos. And therefore, maybe the same rule as Korbanos, whatever rule you have about the Acher. Right now, the Gemara gives one of them, but really we had five different answers of what's considered about the Acher. But over here, one of them is Ad Avril Gimel Regalim. You have to, you saw two of the answers we saw. The first two we saw of what's considered about the Acher, that you have to have at least three Regalim pass before about the Acher kicks in. So maybe you'll tell me if you have stuck or written in the same context as these cases, maybe also to be over the Isra of not getting stuck on time, it would have to be three regalim. Mashmalan, we don't say that. Why? Because Hasim Hu Talinu Brahman Regalim. There, only there by the Korbanos, does the Torah make regalim the featured important point of discussion. Because those are based on mikdash type of things. And therefore, by the regular, you're obligated to the basic mikdash. And it makes sense to tie your obligations to that obligation of going to basic mikdash anyways. But of halacha, but in the case of sukkah, lo, it's not da'al shichya aniyim. There are people who are commonly found next to aniyim pretty regularly. People knocking on your door all the time for money. And therefore, the mitzvah pops up regularly. It's not going to be only three times a year when you can do this thing where we're going to make it or depending upon that. But now, anytime an ami comes by, we're going to assume the opportunity is there and you should give it right away. If you don't give it right away, you may be over a mitzvah, at least in the case when you designate it for poor people. And then it would have to be given to poor people right away when you can. Okay. Rava now says something different that we haven't really seen fully yet, but we're going to run out of question.
Yeah, what was the conclusion of that? You have to give it right away or you don't?
For tzedakah, you should give it right away. Assuming you designate it for a poor person, and then when poor person's at the door, then you have to give it. That the opportunity just came. And when it comes to the other things like korbanos, it could be that your opportunity would only come when you're around the base of the area. So we designated times that those things happen normally, and we made the amount of time, the regal, and that's what people have, usually come to the base of the anyways. Aaron.
Well, let's say you said, like, I'm going to give 10% of my salary at the end of the year. It could wait till like you actually have the money, right?
You designated where you're going to give it to yet. Meaning if you say to the charity of my choice, for example, wherever I see fit, that would be a little more open-ended, and therefore that would be allowed to do it in that way. Okay. Back in the Gemara. Amar Rav. Rav now says an interesting statement. Kevin sha'avar Allah regel echad over ba'aseh. You know we said earlier on that to be over the Isser of Baal Ta'akher, we quoted, maybe you have to have three regalim, three holidays, but Rava says to miss the mitzvah of the assay of offering it, the first regal that comes your way that you don't offer on time, you miss the mitzvah. Again, there's two separate things. You had it last time also, remember, we had the positive commandment of doing your of giving the korban and the violation, the negative violation of not giving it in time. Those can be two separate things. So says Rava, when the mitzvah, the first regal comes your way and you don't offer it in time, that would already be a violation. The first mitzvah comes out, you would miss the mitzvah's assay of bringing it, but not yet lo ta'asei, that may come only later on. What does meisei? We're going to ask a kash on that. Hey, Rabbi Yeshua of Rabbi Papayas. Avlad shlamim, sheikra shlamim. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Papayas, they both testified, they gave a psak halacha, that if you korban shlamim, which is again a korban that you designated, korban shlamim is a type of korban designate, and that korban is pregnant or became pregnant before you offered it, and it had a baby before you offered it. The halacha is that that child is machlokas, by the way, in the Gemara. Machlokas in the Gemara. And over here, one side says, and that's what we're going to go with right now, that side, that the animal born of that shlamim is itself to be treated like a shlamim as well. That's the halacha. Okay. Says the Gemara. Amr Pai says, Ani made Shaisalanu Parashal Zidche Shalom. I'm testifying in front of you that we had the following case that happened. We had a para of Zidche Shalom. We had a para, an animal born from an animal that was supposed to be a Korban Shalom, which, by the way, a Korban Pesach, we'll see in a minute. Bachalnua of Pesach. We ate the original animal on Pesach time as a Shalom on Pesach time. And then achalnu vlada shlamim b'chag. We ate the next animal, meaning its child animal, as a shlamim an chag, which we assume means sukkos. Now that's a problem. Why? Because that means that we had already Pesach passed and Shavuos passed, and then only later on he brought in the third holiday. That means he missed the mitzvah asay. Now, why would we assume that these great rabbis are going to miss the mitzvah asay? Says the Gemara, Bishlam b'Pesach lo akrivua. I understand. It makes sense. My baby, he didn't offer it on Pesach itself. That's the animal's child. Because Amor de Mechusar is a manhavi. Maybe you'll tell me it wasn't old enough yet to be offered. Wasn't old yet to be offered. And if Rashi points out, it has to be at least 8 days until you can offer a korban. You have to make sure it's at least 8 days old. It's too young. If it's not 8 days old, then you can't offer it as a korban. So maybe you could say the mother gave birth 3 days before Pesach, and you offered the mother on Pesach, and the child was too young to be offered, and therefore you didn't offer the child on Pesach, and that doesn't count then as missing the first holiday, missing the asay. But elavlada batzeres hechi mishaylei laver de baasei. How could the child atzeres, which is Shavuos, which was again a month and a half, 2 months later, how could you delay it and be over the asay? We said before, according to Rava, that you have one regel, you know, you can't miss, and the first regel comes where you have to, if you offer it as a shlamim, you said you designate as a shlamim, you have to offer it, and the first regel comes your way. Assuming it was of age to be offered, like more than 8 days old, then how in the world could you pass Shavuos? Again, I get, you know, that maybe Pesach wasn't an issue. Maybe it was still too young by then. It was less than 8 days old, maybe. We don't know what the case was. But Shavuos, there's no way it was less than 8 days old. So then how could this be the case? How could you not have offered it by then? Question. Pops, what do you got?
So if you have a newborn that needs to be fed, you would still take its mother and figure out another way to feed it?
Yeah, if you could. I mean, assuming that the animal would survive.
What if it wouldn't?
What's that?
What if it wouldn't? In other words, would you
survive?
Let's assume for the moment you had the mother, gives birth 8 days later, would be the normal time to, or 5 days later, whatever the case may be, would be the normal time to sacrifice it. If you did sacrifice it, the baby would die because it's not going to have the milk from its mother.
Could you then have an answer? He wants to. He says there's an answer.
Happy. In the Mishnah Yomi, I think we had what's a yosom, right?
Uh huh.
According to Rabbi Yeshua, if you have the shelach.
Yeah, give them the conditions.
If you have the skin. If you have the skin of the mother, it won't feel that its mother's missing.
That's from the standpoint of the touch and feel. What about the point of nursing?
No, since someone's been given milk, but there's no problem.
I mean, the animal will take the milk if it thinks that it's his mother, and with the skin there, then it will think it's the mother still.
Okay.
Good. Take it.
I accept it, but I don't know. That's an explanation or an excuse for having taken it. The more humane way would have been to allow the mother to live until the child is viable, and then do it at the next viable holiday.
Maybe. I'm not sure what makes it humane or not. I mean, again, if you have the animal will take food with something else with a skin, like Gil's saying, is that less humane?
We won't know if the animal's going to take the food with the skin.
I guess a study that was done. They saw that if you had to smell the mother, it would take the milk thinking it's the mother. So they would be able to do it that way, which I guess they showed. I don't know.
But I'm assuming that's in extreme circumstances. But as Avi just said, ooh, didn't work this time. Oop, dead calf.
And, I guess they would have known it worked. I mean, I guess they had the confidence that it would work. I don't know. Good question. So I assume.
The price of the hog. Is chag synonymous with sukkot, not shavuos?
Say good, Avi. Say good. Hold on a second. Excellent. So the Gemara right now is assuming that chag meant sukkot. But Avi is on something right now. Amar of Zvid Mishmei de Rava. Look at the back part of the Gemara now. But Zvid says the name of Rava. Kigon is the first answer he gives. Kigon Shahaya Chola Bat Saras. It was sick on shavuos. Meaning, who was sick? Either the Vlad, according to Rashi, was sick, that the animal was sick, and therefore they couldn't offer on shavuos, or the owners were sick, and they couldn't bring it on shavuos. That's why it delayed until Sukkot. But Rav Avi, I should say, even though it's said over here, Rav Ashi, but Rav Ashi says, Amar Maiv Achalim Vlad Shlamim Bichag de Katani. What does it mean when it says the words, we ate the Vlad as a Shlamim on Chag, the time that we taught? Chag Ashruas, that refers to Shruas. Who says it meant Sukkot? Why can't that be Shruas? The Idach and the other person, meaning, the position that argued, Rav Zvid, who said the case was the owner was sick or the animal was sick, he says he didn't say the answer why. The word chag could mean shavuos, but not in a case when it says Pesach. If it says Pesach, then it would say atzeres if it was talking about shavuos. Chag is what you use as the standard term for sukkos. It would never call atzeres chag if it said in the same sentence Pesach. Then it would say atzeres. So here when it says Pesach, then it says chag. Chag over here would have to be Sukkot, but it's a good suggestion. Okay.
But Atzeres would be what? Sukkot?
Atzeres would be Shruas. Atzeres is Shruas.
Wait, so they're also applying this rule for Pesach?
What do you mean?
With, like this whole discussion about it being offered on Sukkot, is it also applied to Pesach as well? Like Pesach isn't really being mentioned at all.
If what is Sukkot? If what? I mean, would the word Chag be Pesach also? Could Chag be Pesach as well, as you're asking?
No, it's all about skipping the holiday.
Chag means a holiday, literally, right? It means a holiday.
So they went from Pesach all the way till Sukkot.
Pesach, and then it says they probably offered the other one on Chag. So what does Chag mean in that context? So Chag can mean any holiday in theory, but when it's written as Pesach and Chag, so it's not Pesach, right? It's not Pesach in that case because of the context.
But,
yeah.
They could have just switched the order, right? They could have said they brought it on Shavuos, and then they ate it on.
But he was telling you a story. I mean, he was telling you the story. He was saying the story. I mean, he's saying, I'm testifying. Yeah. This is what happened. Correct. Could be anything. Correct.
Okay. So it doesn't matter which holiday it is.
Correct. Yeah, as long as you had one in the middle that was passed over, that was the biggest problem. No pun intended. with the Passover lamb it is. Yeah. I'll be here all week. Actually, I'll be here probably all month at this point. Next year, I'll be here. I'll be here for a long time. Anyways, back in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, top of Vavma base. Says the Gemara. Amarava, Kevich Avrilav Gimel Regalim. Again, we have before, if the mitzvah is the first regal, but how about a lotase? When three regalim pass, v'chol yom v'yom over below v'alta'acher. Not only are you over the Israel v'alta'acher, but there's every day that passes afterwards, you're over the Israel v'alta'acher. You're over the Israel of delay. Versus Meisvei, we're asking a question. Echa b'chor v'echad kol ha'kadshim, Kevich Avrilav Shana below regalim. Or regalim below shana, over b'bal ta'acher. Since the statement says that whether it's a b'chor or any korban for that matter, or any offering to give to the base of Mikdash, even if the year passed without the three holidays coming yet, or if the holiday is fast but not the year yet, either one, you're over b'bal ta'acher. Now, the Gemara here brings as a question, but we don't know the question is. Again, Rava just finished saying that when three holidays pass, every day afterwards, you're over b'bal ta'acher. Now, we quoted over here a seeming question, as it may say. We said, if a whole year passes, but not through regalim, or through regalim, not a whole year, then you're over b'al ta'acher. So what is the high mai tiufta? What's the question? What's the question over here from this brisa that we quoted? Why is the question of Rava? So I'm Rav Kadav, kind of says, I'll tell you the question. Man the kamosim shapir kamosim. The one who asked, he asked good. Michti, let us see, Tana arad brisa that we quote is now, alave kamahader. He was going over all the lavim you could have when it comes to not giving your vow in time. So, for example, he said, if the regal's passed, but not the year, but not the regal. And therefore, he should also have taught, listening, he should have taught, b'chol yom b'yom over b'al ta'acher. He should have said, and every day subsequently, you'd be over b'al ta'acher. The fact doesn't say that. What does it imply? It's not the case. You're over the Isser one time, and that's it. The idach, and the other side of that is, Rabbi would say back, no. Tana, our Tana, who is listing the year but not the regalim, or the regalim but not the year, the mikave belav kamahader. He was trying to establish when the lav, kicks in. But belav yisayim lo kamahader. He's not trying to explain to us multiple lav that could happen. He's trying to explain when does the lav start. Could it be that it happens every day afterwards? Yeah, it could be. It could be. He's not working on that. He's only explaining when did the lotase and bal ta'acher actually kick in. For the first time, maybe. Maybe it happens every day afterwards, even. We don't know. That's not what he's talking about. So it's not a kasha. Gemara says Gufa. Let's look at the case we just said. It's a very interesting case we just gave over. It seems to be difficult. We said Echad Bechor of Echad Kol Kodshim. Whether it's a firstborn gift to the Kohen or whether it was any Kohen, any Hekdesh animal. Kevin Sha'avru Aleim Shana below Regalim, Regalim below Shana, over Baal Ta'acher. Whether or not the year passed or the Regalim passed yet, or Regalim without the year yet, you're over Baal Ta'acher. So what does that even mean? Vishlama Regalim below Shana, Mishkachazla. It's pretty easy. It makes sense to have regalim pass without the year passing. Let's say, for example, Adar. You offer something in Adar. So Adar means that right afterwards you have Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and Tishrei is the three regalim, not the year. So it's very easy to find three regalim passing, but no year passing yet. And you can be over Baal Ta'acher already at that point in time. But Shana below regalim, Hechem Mishkach, so where do you ever find a year pass that have not had in three regalim? That's impossible. So it goes to the Hanichal Man, the East Lake of Sidron, Mishkachasla. The one, I think, is Rabbi Shimon, we said earlier on, who said that you have to have the three holidays pass in their proper order, right? It's got to start with Pesach, and then you have Shavuos and Sukkot. Otherwise, we could have even five regalim. Now, I understand how you could have regalim and not the year. I get that possibility. Elamand is less like a Sidra, but the first opinion we saw, it says only three holidays, but not in what, doesn't matter what order it's in. And which also, where do you find a year, but not three regalim? Bisham the Rebbe. I even could find Rebbe. Rebbe who says, Mishkachas Lach Mishan Muberis. Was having a leap year. You say, well, huh? A leap year might be the case according to Rebbe, because Rebbe holds. We're actually going to stop over here because we're going to have to get this next time. It's a little bit more involved. So we'll go back a few lines and discuss this again in the Nether next time.